This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Streaming at kzfr.org. The opinions and views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and opinions of the KZFR staff, board of directors, or its volunteers.
Faith and Common Ground is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and custom embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image is open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and by appointment. For more information, call 530-898-9525.
Christians and the pagans sit together at the table, finding faith and common ground, the best that they were able. Just before the meal was served, hands were held and prayers were said, sending hope for peace on earth to all their gods and goddesses.
This is Faith and Common Ground. I'm your host, Jesse Kearns.
And I'm your host, Amber St. Clair.
Hi, Amber.
Good morning.
I wish our listeners could see this, but you have the most amazing unicorn hat on.
50th birthday present. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I can't tell. The mane kind of looks like, you said punk rock, yes. But I think it looks like a chicken comb.
It's a punk rock chicken comb unicorn hat.
Well, there we go. with the golden horn. Well, I am really pleased to introduce our guest today. This is Monica Cross, who's part of our denomination, Christian Church Disciples of Christ. And I've known Monica now for, I don't know, since about 2016, 17, something like that.
Yeah, I'm up there.
She is the director of women's ministry for the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in Northern California and Nevada, and we work on quite a few things together because I'm active in the region too. So Monica is going to tell us her story today. Welcome, Monica.
Yeah, glad to be here, Jesse and Amber. Glad to be here and loving a unicorn. Punk rock unicorn, right? Yeah, they love it.
So what we like to do is ask people who are serving people and planet how they got into doing what they are doing, and to go back as far as they want to go into their life and talk about it's kind of like a comic book. We ask for the origin story, mm-hmm. and some people have super villain origin stories. Some people have superhero, so you get the point there. So, tell me about yourself and, maybe some things in your life and your childhood and things that had to do with your understanding of God or any kind of church background or anything like that. Tell us your story.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. So I was born in Los Angeles, California, LA, not Louisiana. Grew up, I did church, my AME church, but not a lot, typical stuff. Your parents take you to church and you run away. Yeah, I remember running away from the church and the dog running his back to church. It was kind of interesting. And so I grew up there, and then eventually I was sitting on a Hollywood freeway one day in traffic. LA is a lot of traffic. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is not working for me. I was a teacher's aide at my old elementary school. Mm-hmm. I was like, I need something different. Mm-hmm. So I drove over to the Navy recruitment station in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah.
And signed up for the Christian Jubilee. Anyway, I signed up. And my recruiter was a Submariner. He was just saying he should go to different ports and have different women in every port. He was just really going on. He mm-hmm. really romanticized it.
Oh,
but
of course,
I joined the Navy. I joined the Navy in 1985. It was one of the better decisions I made, actually. One of the better decisions.
How so?
Well, I grew up in South Central L.A. A lot of poverty. Now, my parents were doing pretty well, but the area was pretty much you really have to work to get out of the area. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, they'll give money everywhere else in LA, but not to South Central. It's like a poster child kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for a lot of folks who do grow up in poverty around the country, and sometimes the military is the best way to go, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because they're trying to find a way out. So even though my dad worked for Rockwell International with the Apollo moon rockets.
Oh, yeah.
And then my mother was a teacher's aide and stuff. I still wanted more. L.A. just wasn't doing it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So then I spent the next 22 years in your United States Navy.
I didn't know that. You spent 22 years there.
22 years, yeah. Wow. Yeah. So the good thing about it is when I got to a larger, broader conversation about humanity going to different countries, primarily in the Mediterranean, mm-hmm. North Africa area, visiting Haifa, different places. And I still remember meeting my first Coptic Christian. Coptics, I think, are the oldest Christian sect in the world, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And having those conversations about the Bible, where they're reading to the right, I think. Mm-hmm. anyway, reading in different directions. And have a conversation on scripture mm-hmm. with a lady named Samia and her husband, all about the Bible. And then going to a Coptic church and seeing all the church fathers on the wall. It was just a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I got back to the States, like, okay, well, we're just not that mature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a whole long ways to go. But yeah, I had a good time. So then it was toward the end of my career in the Navy that I started getting a call about 4 years. I started feeling a call in the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought it would be a call into a typical normative, heteronormative African-American church.
Mm-hmm.
African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church.
AME, yep.
AME and AME Zion. Ah, yeah, but I grew up AME. But one thing I discovered, you know, like when you receive a call, it's not what you expect.
Yeah, yeah.
Rarely.
So by this time, of course, I had 2 kids and a wife. And I mean, I'm thinking as a black man, be very transparent about it. I'm thinking as a black man, not a black transgender woman, a black man.
Uh-huh.
And so I had an argument, I thought, with the spirit saying, I can't do this stuff. You know how this country is. Why am I going to do that? I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept getting back, just trust me. I can't trust you because you're not accountable. I am.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I went round and round and round. So finally, of course, I lost the argument. Obviously, I lost the argument. So I wound up going into, come out as trans. It was very, my favorite person was Jeremiah.
Ah, Prophet Jeremiah.
Yeah. And particularly around the story about the wheel and how the potter's house.
Oh yeah.
And how the potter shapes and does whatever to the clay. And I say, well, that clay probably gets real dizzy if it's conscious. But
yeah.
It's like, so on one hand, I say, well, my life is falling apart. Lost wife, lost kids. Although we're together now, but at that moment, I lost a hell of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it's almost like as I look back, to do what God had called me to do, I couldn't. It was like non-negotiable.
Yeah.
You know, so when my life fell apart in one way, it actually been rebuilt. So then when the Bible talks about a new creation, I'm like, do you really know what it's really about?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I don't think folks give... I've learned to look deeper into the scriptures when I talk about creating a new creation. There's a lot involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got your whole life established in one area. Then the spirit comes in and says, no, we're going to change up on this.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so it's taken a good 20 years to regain some type of relationship with my kids and even my former wife. We talked yesterday on the phone.
Good.
But it's been a hell of a journey to do it.
So what was the, like, impetus? Did I say that right? I read big words, but I don't say them often. What was the impetus to transition? Like, was it gender, you know, like the way you appear? Was it sexual identity? Was what motivated?
So part of growing up, I had these thoughts, but I had no words for them. Right. So, you know, you kind of, okay, well, you kick them to the curb and you live your life. But what I found out, the more I got into my relationship with my creator, creator God, the divine, however you want to call it, our power, the more those thoughts actually became more and more real. Mm-hmm. And so my transition was not just like, there's a physical transition, but there's a spiritual, which is a more deeper one. And so the spiritual transition is what's the central point. And the implications of my spiritual transformation is being transgender. Yeah, so then, and I was scared if it's your body first and your spirituality second, you're not going to make it through this society.
Correct.
I mean, that's a whole different conversation. You're just not going to. But if you have spirituality first and who you are rooted in your spirituality, i.e. your relationship with the God that you know in your personal life, mm-hmm. that's where your strength is. And then you'll get through the other stuff. There's a lot of it, too. But you'll get through that. But yeah, it was very much about spirituality because my call came from my relationship with God.
So your spirit identified as feminine, and that was what motivated.
Feminine. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just curious if that's what motivated the transition.
Yeah, the spiritual journey motivated transition. Yeah, I mean, everybody's a little bit different. For me, it's my spiritual journey.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's almost like the eunuch in the Acts, where the eunuch is reading scripture, but they don't always understand what they're reading. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit sees, hey, and tells Philip, go help that person out.
Yeah. Who is your Philip?
Jonathan Thunderword.
Jonathan Thunderword. As in cool Thunderword. Name. That is, oh my gosh, that's, talk about superhero names. Woo.
Thunderword.
He really helped me out. I mean, he was a trans man, actually.
Oh.
I was baptized in the Baptist church in Virginia. Jesse.
Yeah. I know Baptist churches in Virginia. All right.
Whew. And so the funny thing is he got baptized before they realized, like, hey, wait a minute. But hey, it's too late. You already ordained me. So it's done. Yeah. So, yeah. But I've had a lot of Phillips, Bishop Flunder, Yvette Flunder, the City of Refuge, United Church of Christ. Even Howard Thurman in his all his writings and stuff.
Wow, yeah.
But you know, the one that really had impact on me was actually my pagan therapist.
Pagan therapist.
Yep. Yep. Oh, you're pagan there?
Yeah.
That's our shtick, you know, the Christians and the pagans get together at the table, you know.
Yeah, so once again, I'm in Virginia, uh-huh. and the church was no help at all, none. Right? We had our MCC church, but you know the MCC, the Metropolitan Community Church, is still considered kind of on the margin and stuff like that.
Right, right.
But it was my pagan therapist. My pagan therapist said, "Oh yeah, you're going to be a Christian minister, right?" Well, how do you know that? I just know. And so she sent me to Jonathan. Well, I got mad respect for pagans. Trust me on that one, because it's like they gave me life. I would not be here if it weren't for the pagan community. It just wouldn't happen. So what it shows is that God is not just about some Christian church, that God is so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And typically when I say the more, most folks don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, pagans and Wiccans. I got to give props to the Wiccans too. So yeah. I don't think I say that very often.
Yeah, I don't think we hear that from Christians too much. So thank you for that.
Okay, so now let's see. Where are we right now? You are in, what state are you in now?
Well, are you right now or?
No. In the story. Where are we in the timeline?
Okay. So, yeah. So I had my coming out in Virginia.
Okay.
I was going to New Life MCC.
Yep.
And I was going to Regent University.
Oh my gosh, you were going to Regent. Our listeners out there, Regent is a very conservative institution.
Yeah. And so I was in the midst of transition, physical or spiritual transition. And in Virginia Beach, you don't have a lot of progressive places, right?
That's for sure.
Yeah. I actually had gone up to Lynchburg. Forgive me.
That's almost worse.
So I got to Lynchburg and something like, get the hell out of there. Yeah. I hightailed it back down to Virginia Beach. Went to Regent. I got to meet Pat Robertson. Stayed in those classes for a little bit. But you know, at the time, because I wasn't like I am now, I felt so blessed to be at Regent University because it's Regent. And within that context, they're like, you know, the bomb kind of thing in their theological context.
Yeah.
But then looking back, Spirit said, this is just part of my church. I have more. My church is much larger than this. And I'm listening to this stuff like that. And one day I'm sitting in preaching class and the professor said, you know, if you want more social justice, you need to go to another school.
Mm.
The preacher said this in the class. Now, if you look around the class, most of the folk were kind of queer.
Oh, okay.
And that's why he said that, because most of the class was folks of color. They're queer and trying to find their way through. And he saw that. So I said, well, I'm going to, it's called PSR. What's that? Well, Civic School of Religion in Berkeley. He wrote my letter.
Oh, really? From Regent University. I wonder how the folks at PSR felt like that when we get a student coming in and they've got accolades from Regent University.
Yeah, it was interesting to say the least. It was definitely different.
Yeah.
So I wrote the letter. We had a whole discussion, and he was pretty clear about that. Like, you know, we don't, just the stuff that we don't do here at Regent, and that's social justice. We don't do that.
Yeah.
So I get to PSR. So by that time, I'm heading towards back here to California, to Berkeley. And then I started going to City of Refuge. You know, I started really getting to know myself in a different way.
Yeah.
But it just showed me that God can work through anything. Oh, before I forget. So when I got to Regent University, I found a book in the bookstore about gender and sexual identity at Regent University.
Whoa.
Come to find out, one of the psychology professors at Regent came out as a lesbian at Regent.
At Regent. Oh, my word.
Yeah. So they acknowledge it, but from a pastoral care perspective versus, say, an authentic place of sacredness.
Right.
But they know then, and so I went to the lady. She said, "There's nothing we can do about that. We know it is there, but there's nothing we can do. It is what it is."
Yeah.
So they know it's there. They know the truth.
Yeah.
But it's almost like their donors or whoever doesn't really want them to acknowledge that.
Right.
Pat Robertson was re-educated on transgender folks because he used to beat us up a lot. But there was a doctor who was part of his crew that told him and taught him about transgender. So they know the truth. It's just that the money's not there.
Right.
They go where the money is. That's their faith. They go where the money is.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
well, to maintain that kind of an operation, you kind of got to.
Well, you know, it's huge. Their media footprint is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay. So what year are we in? You're at PSR. So what year are we in now?
I got the PSR like 2000 and fall of 2007.
Okay. All right.
So by this time, it's in the early 2000s when I'm going through these final stages of retiring from the Navy and coming out fully, and then driving across Highway 10 as Monica all the way across the United States.
Yeah.
No, it was 40. Was it 40? No, it was 40. It was 10. One of them highways. Yeah.
So how did that feel, being able to cross the country as Monica and come into a new place? Oh,
it was
a
liberating experience. It was risky.
Yeah.
Even deadly, maybe, but it felt really so freeing and liberating. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I might have lost a lot, but I gained a whole lot of liberation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I never looked back either.
Yeah. So tell me about your education at PSR. How did that go?
Well, you know, I had to figure that out because I was coming. So Regent, even how I was supposed to look at the calendar is different theologically.
Right.
You know, where we talk about, I think it's it's a different, because they look at prophecy as moving as a forward thing versus right. backwards thing. It's a very different. So I was, one of my professors was Mary, not Mary Donovan Turner, but Mary, the other Mary. I can't think of her name. The other Mary.
Mary and the other Mary. Very biblical.
So, we had a whole conversation about the theological calendar, the whole conversation. Because I had this stuff already. I told you, no, not from my perspective. Nah, okay, fine. Yeah. So I went through the PSR. I had to be decolonized.
Mm.
Really rethink a lot of stuff.
For our listeners, tell us about that shortly, briefly. What is decolonization?
So decolonization is actually being... rethinking the norm that we embrace. Uh-huh. So an example is seeing, what Knucklehead, I call him Knucklehead, mm-hmm. right? He says only a male and female, two genders. Decolonization says, no, there's more than just two genders.
Uh-huh.
There's a plethora of genders, you know? But the colonized mindset, there's only two genders and that's it. And they're very much into the patriarchy.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I hope that's kind of a short explanation of it, but it's so much
more than that.
What was your field of study called?
I did my MDiv, Master of Divinity. My focus has always been radically inclusive hospitality.
Okay.
So part of colonization is you go to a church or a community of faith, and people only want their reflection. They don't want different. They want their reflection, political reflection, politically, their political reflection, cultural reflection, walk like, chew like, eat like them versus, say, somebody really different who's, say, a church that's straight, per se, mm-hmm. inviting a transgender person or a queer person or somebody from the LGBT community. So, yeah, so... it's about diversity, about difference, about queerness.
Okay. So how did you find the Christian Church Disciples of Christ?
Well, you know what's interesting? I had never heard of the DLC, ever.
Yeah?
Didn't know from a hole in a wall.
Yeah.
So when I graduated from PSR, I was really mainly on the UCC track.
Okay.
But for me, UCC, love them, but they didn't have enough Jesus.
Unitarians considering enough. Christ is the what we joke around.
Yeah,
right. I shouldn't say that on the air.
But I was a Unitarian for a long, long time.
So I needed Jesus. You know, yeah, I might be going through decolonization, but I still need Jesus because Jesus was all in a bag of chips. Anyway. So I'd gone out and I was in the wilderness for a little bit,
uh-huh.
you know, doing my thing. And I decided to go to Tapestry Ministry one day.
Oh, yeah.
I'd gone there before I was in school, but I graduated doing my thing. I went back there, got to meet Mary Donovan Turner again. If you meet Mary Donovan Turner, you'll never be the same again.
Yep, for sure.
So I met her and Leon Backhues and others, mm-hmm. Pastor Leon Backhues and others at the time. And, they invited me in. And I was able to do communion, the whole nine yards, and be a part of the community. And I think you cannot overestimate the importance of having community.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that goes across the spectrum. Okay. That goes across the spectrum, the theological spectrum of having community.
Yeah.
But it also goes back to what God do you believe in? If you believe in a God of judgment, community will affirm that.
Yeah.
But if you believe in a God of liberation and hope, a God of the unexpected,
mm-hmm.
and that's also affirmed by community, and that's where I am right now. So I've experienced at least this region of the DOC is being just that.
Okay.
Where you have community, a liberated community, a community that is so... it's not post-colonial, but it works on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of hope, is there any word of hope that you might be able to offer to our listeners today?
Yeah. And this helped me out a lot. You know, so we come upon our 250 year anniversary, or that's birthday, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it quite often where you look at the history of this this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I mean, the key for hope and faith is to look at the ugly stuff. Really look at it, mm-hmm. right? And no, that's not the final word. Because as you look at American history, it's always this pull and push, kind of violent sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But eventually... historically, it does somehow limp forward.
Yeah.
Limp forward.
Yeah.
So the hope I have is not getting lost. So a theological example is, if I were at the cross, I'd be pretty sick. But only taking a wider view of that situation, including the resurrection, then I have hope. So my hope is not at the cross, but at the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's almost how you have to be with this country, any human institution. You can't get too lost in the violence or the idiocy of it, or there's a Bonhoeffer said the stupidity of it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But look at the broader aspect, and know that there is more.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise. I wouldn't do the work. I don't even think any group in this country would ever do the work if we just stayed hooked on the moment and not see the broader move of God in this country.
Very good.
So, I mean, frankly, I'm not surprised about anything that's going on at all.
Yeah.
But I know it's not the final story at all. Love and justice, as complicated as things are, always have the final word. And that's not a naive thing. That's just the reality of it.
Cool. Yeah. That is a very wonderful word of hope. I appreciate that, Monica. Thank you so much for being on the show today. It was good to talk to you.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Thank
I got
you.
To meet Amber.
Too. You nice to meet you. Have right. a beautiful day.
You too.
Faith in Common Ground is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Chico Chamber of Commerce, leveraging the voice of business for community good. For more information about Chico Chamber opportunities or how you can help move Chico forward, visit chicochamber.com or at 530-891-5556.
KZFR 90.1 FM presents Folkin' Around, an afternoon of live folk and Americana music featuring a lineup of standout North State performers.
It's 5, 6, 7 in the morning, father and son headed out to the lake, pop out the back, grab a